As measles cases reach a 35-year high, the White House is trying to overhaul the childhood vaccine schedule, including plans to split the MMR. How are leading medical societies reacting? Find out about this and more in today's Peer Direct Medical News podcast. I'm your host, Senior VP Medical Director, Dr. Tim Wright, coming to you once again from the Pioneer Valley in Western Massachusetts. Here are today's stories. A White House executive order is directing a major reconstructing of the U.S. childhood immunization schedule. According to press releases from the White House, the American College of Physicians, and the American Academy of Pediatrics, several vaccines would move towards shared clinical decision-making, and states would be encouraged to reconsider school requirements. And the combination MMR vaccine would eventually be replaced by separate measles, mumps, and rubella injections when those products became available. The timing is remarkable. JAMA reports the CDC recorded 2,465 measles cases through August 6, the highest number since 1991, with 38 outbreaks and 164 hospitalizations. Only 4% of the cases occurred in people who had received both the MMR doses. The AAP and the ACP argue that there is no scientific evidence supporting these changes and warn that additional visits and injections could create barriers to vaccination. Both groups have stated that vaccine guidance can and should evolve, but those decisions are best driven by data, expert review, and patient safety rather than political pressure. In our next story, from a press release from Definium Therapeutics, we learn about positive top-line results in a Phase 3 Voyager trial of DT120, an oral disintegrating 100 microgram dose of lysergide, or LSD, for generalized anxiety disorder. The 214-patient study found a 5.4-point placebo-adjusted improvement in HAM-A scores at week 12, with a Cohen's D effect size of 0.81. Benefits appeared as early as day 2. Response rates were 43% with DT120 versus 16% with placebo, while remission occurred at 14% and 4%. The company reported mostly mild to moderate, transient adverse events, and no new suicidality signal. These are company-reported top-line data, and patients required hours of monitoring after treatment. A second Phase 3 GAD study is still pending. If replicated, however, one supervised dose producing improvement for up to 12 weeks could challenge psychiatrists' traditional daily medication model and force clinicians and patients to reconsider some deeply rooted assumptions about LSD. In our next story, we learned that the AMA recently reviewed an important change in colorectal cancer screening. The American Cancer Society has included blood-based testing among screening options for average-risk adults 45 to 75. But there's a more important catch. The guidelines authors do not consider blood testing equivalent to colonoscopy or established stool-based testing. Blood tests have lower sensitivity for advanced precancerous lesions and stage 1 cancers, and modeling suggests that they are the least effective available screening strategy for reducing colorectal cancer incidence and mortality. The rationale for including blood tests is that the screening that patients actually complete is better than the screening they avoid. Roughly 30% of adults 50 and older are not up to date, and the percentage is even higher among those ages 45 to 49. Blood testing should not become the easy default, but for a patient refusing colonoscopy and stool testing, a less sensitive blood test may still be substantially better than no screening at all. And finally, the CHIPS trial, reported in JAMA, enrolled 1,000 pediatric and adult cardiac surgery patients at 27 centers in the U.S. and Australia and compared conventional room temperature platelets with refrigerated platelets. The investigators found that chilled platelets stored as long as 21 days were comparably effective for treating bleeding, potentially extending usable platelet life nearly fourfold. That could have enormous practical consequences. Many rural and community hospitals cannot justify stocking platelets with a 5 to 7 day shelf life because too many units expire unused. 3-week refrigerated storage could reduce waste while making life-saving platelet transfusion available much closer to where severely bleeding patients actually present. And that's today's medical news. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Peer Direct Medical News Podcast. For more stories like these, visit us at peerdirect.com. Thoughts, comments, or suggestions? Please leave us a review on your preferred listening platform or email us at editorial@peerdirect.com. Listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also download our Amazon Alexa Flash Briefing Medical News Roundup and just ask, what's my flash briefing? Thanks today to Sean Mullen, Norm Dion, Miriam Gomez, and Bryce Sadie for production assistance. Join me next time for an episode where we cover the latest stories in the world of medicine.